Welcome back from the coffee break health stretch. Just before we went for coffee, we finished part A of agenda item 4. And can we now go to part B of the same agenda item? And can I invite the secretary to introduce the agenda item, please? Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The working paper for the second part of the agenda item, which is CX/exec 07/60/4, has not been issued. The estimate for the expenditure for 2008 and 2009 for the Codex program was presented to the 30th session of the Commission in July through the 59th session of the Executive Committee, and document was Arinom 07/30/9. Under the current sub-item, the Codex Secretariat, FAO and WHO wish to provide some updates for the development since earlier this year regarding the Codex budget 2008 and 2009. When the Codex Secretariat presented the Codex budget estimate for the next biennium in July this year, based on the information obtained from FAO and WHO, the exact cost increase factors to extrapolate the budget size from this biennium to the next biennium were not available. Therefore, an indicative figure of the total budget of 7.6 million was mentioned in the previous budget document. Now, with the ongoing work by the budget units of FAO, we have now more realistic estimate of expenditure for 2008 and 2009 available now, although the figures and coefficients are still being worked out by the budget unit of FAO. It is now estimated that a total budget of 8.4 million will be required to conserve the same purchasing power of the Codex budget in the current biennium, which stood at 6.9 million. Therefore, the increase of 1.5 million in nominal terms may appear significant, may appear to be a significant increase, but this increase will mainly to cover the loss of the value of United States dollars against euro and partly the inflation. As far as FAO is concerned, FAO contribution to Codex in 2008 and 2009 is expected to be at a level that would conserve the 2006-2007 purchasing power for the Codex program. This means that the total estimate budget of 8.4 million will not include the costing for the additional languages such as Russian that could be used in the Commission and Coordinating Committee for Europe, and the Portuguese that could be used as a language of interpretation in the Coordinating Committee for Africa. At this point of time, the consultation between FAO and WHO are ongoing in respect to the respective share of the total budget, and it will be known hopefully early next year. And depending the final decision as to the addition or non-addition of Russian and Portuguese in the respective Codex bodies would depend on the final overall budget for the Codex program. Mr. Chairman, this is as much as we could say at this stage, and you may wish to invite representatives of FAO and WHO regarding the budget outlook for the activities of those organizations in support of Codex, namely provision of scientific advice and technical assistance to help countries to implement Codex standards, among others. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And can I start by inviting FAO, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I have to outline the special period for FAO, but I think the result from the conference is a principle, a good result for Codex. At the moment, I think the contribution of a regular budget of FAO to the Codex is protected at the level that the Secretary of the Codex mentioned. But again, as a result of the conference in 2008, November 2008, the budget for 2009 could be changed according to the priorities established for the conference in 2008, the special conference. I can expect that in that sense, I suppose that Codex could be a very high priority for FAO. It's just as a feeling. It's not a predictable result. But for the interventions of the representatives of different countries in the Council and Conference, it seems that Codex is a very high priority for a great part of the member countries of the FAO. In my view, if in 2009 there are some changes, I expect there are non-negative changes for Codex, there are positive changes for Codex. But at least the contribution for FAO to Codex is protected in 2008 and 2009. If any change could be, in my view, could be positive change. But again, I cannot predict how would be this change.
Thank you, FAO. And can I invite WHO, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That can be very brief, that the 1.25 million that has been set aside before for the Codex budget from WHO has also been set aside for this biennium. So in that sense, it's also protected. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, for that information. And can I open the floor for some comments, please? Any comments from the floor regarding the budget outlook? Mali, please.
Excusez-moi, Monsieur le Président, ce n'est pas un commentaire, mais je n'ai pas très bien compris juste les 7,6 millions dont le secrétaire a fait allusion, parce que malheureusement, moi, je n'ai pas retrouvé les supports quelconques. Donc, merci.
Sure. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je devrais me référer au document qui a été présenté à la dernière session de la Commission et à la dernière session du comité exécutif, à savoir le document Alinorme 07/30/9. Ce document contenait trois tableaux. Tableau 1, tableau 2A, tableau 2B. Tableau 2B présentait le niveau de financement nécessaire pour maintenir le pouvoir d'achat au même niveau entre le présent biennium 2006-2007 et le prochain biennium 2008 et 2009. Et le niveau actuel du budget pour le programme de Codex dans ce biennium est de 6,9 millions de dollars américains. Et à ce moment-là, il y a 6 mois, nous avons eu un échange entre le dollar et l'euro qui est très différent de ce qu'il est actuellement. Et c'est pour cette raison que nous avions estimé que 7,6 millions seraient suffisants pour maintenir le même pouvoir d'achat. Alors que le cours d'échange s'est évolué depuis 6 mois, et c'est pour ça que en utilisant les nouveaux coefficients qui ont été fournis et qui ont été étudiés par l'unité de budget de la FAO, nous avons obtenu le chiffre de 8,4 millions comme le montant nécessaire pour le maintenir le même pouvoir d'achat. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Secretary, for that explanation. And ladies and gentlemen, we can conclude. FAO again, yeah. Please.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to mention two small items that that perhaps the delegates would like to take into account. One is that the budget, as provided by the Secretariat, does not, of course, include the contribution of those member countries that are hosting Codex sessions. And at one point, perhaps, I think it would be important or interesting for the Executive Committee to have some idea of the total contributions that could be made, that are made by member countries through hosting of the different sessions. I think that would be interesting to have as an information. The other information, which is not counted for in the budget, is the contributions from FAO and WHO to scientific advice that is provided directly to Codex, and that I would give in a biennium, I would give rough amount of $2.5 million between FAO and WHO that I put every biennium into this. Plus, we have at least an equal amount, if not more, into capacity building, directly linked to codex and the application of codex standards by member countries. That is not, it's not accounted for. Just to mention that there is a great effort being made by FAO and WHO and member countries of codex that are hosting codex Alimentarius commission sessions in the codex system that need to be underlined here. It's a big effort that we hope that will continue, but also will expand in the future so that we can satisfy the needs of our member countries in this particular field. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, FAO, for that further information, and WHO, and then to the coordinator for Asia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to add to the, because the figure was mentioned here, 2.5 million for scientific advice, that figure does not include staff.
Staff, of course.
So if you want to make any sort of comparison to the codex budget, you really need to include staff, and then the figure will be at least double. But I think the point is that at some stage we might want to have all the figures recorded, you know, all the activities around codex, both what is in the codex budget per se, what is being delivered from member states, and what the surrounding scientific advice, without which codex could not function, also costs. Because if we want to present the full picture, we should actually use all these different figures. Thank you.
Yeah, then I'll have the secretary to comment on that after the coordinator for Asia, please.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask the FAO representative, this is any possibility for the Codex Commission or Codex Secretary to make some proposal or giving some input to the next special conference on the budget next year. Is any possibility to, you know, for Codex to make some proposal or asking some budget or something like that? Okay, input to the Aram.
Can I have the secretary responding to those two issues? The one from FAO that will require the codex budget to have also to include also the contribution in kind from member countries, the element of provision of scientific advice, staff salaries, and also the possibility of Codex presenting its budget proposal to the FAO Council. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There have been two questions, so I shall try to provide two answers. In respect to the budgeting and budget reporting and expense reporting process, what should be followed as process is set out in Rule 13 of the Rules of Procedure of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. And in particular, the paragraph 1 sets out how the budgetary cycle and reporting should be managed. The Director General of FAO and WHO, in the first place, prepare for consideration by the Commission at its regular session an estimate of expenditure based on the proposed program work of the Commission and its subsidiary bodies, together with information concerning expenditure for the previous financial period. This provision was followed literally when the Commission was meeting every 2 years. So at each session, at each regular session of the Commission, the Secretariat presented the report of the expenditure of the previous biennium and the estimate of expenditure for the coming biennium. So if you are in biennium, let's say 5, you got the commission received the expenditure report for biennium 4 and the estimate of expenditure for biennium 6. Since 2003, the commission started to meet every year. Therefore, for the purpose of early reporting to the commission, the secretariat has taken an initiative to separate the budget reporting and the presenting of estimate of expenditure for the next biennium. For instance, in 2007 this year, we presented an estimate of expenditure for the next biennium, and in 2006, we presented a report of expenditure for the previous biennium. We will follow this process so that we will present the report of expenditure for the current biennium to the next session of the commission meeting in July 2008. So as long as the rule 13 stands, we need to follow this procedure, and the reporting will be made in accordance with the current accounting rules of FAO. Mr. Chairman, on the second point, it may be a good idea, and probably we could receive useful information if we are to grasp an overall figure on the whole codex operation, including expenses incurred upon the host government of subsidiary bodies. And we did conduct a similar survey several years ago, and the results reported to the Commission. Of course, this kind of survey will mean a lot of work on the part of host governments of the countries. But we are confident that if the exec committee expresses its strong wish and request that host governments to come up with the expenditures, the size of expenditures, of course, depending on the countries, it may be a bit difficult to apply harmonious way of accounting, because in some countries, codex matters are handled by a dedicated staff member doing only codex business, but in other countries, the same staff member may be handling these other things, so it might be difficult to quantify the staff cost at the level of subsidiary bodies. And also, there are some challenges on converting between different currencies. But if the executive committee so wishes, we could request the host governments of codex subsidiary bodies to report the approximate budgetary size required for the operation of codex program in, let's say, 2006 and 7 biennium, current biennium, as and when the expenditure reports have been certified by the relevant government entity. That may or may not be feasible before next July, but we could at least send this request to host governments. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that explanation. And can I come back to the committee members then? And can I get a sense of whether it's our strong wish to request the host countries to give us an indication of how much they use in hosting the subsidiary bodies. Of course, I know the hosting is done by governments, and most of the governments will have budget allocations and that information. United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I think we should all congratulate those countries who host subsidiary bodies, and it is not clear to me what the benefit would be of them engaging in work to present the overall cost of mounting their particular committee. It's acknowledged here, or for Codex in general. I just think we need to applaud the work that is done in hosting committees, not to put those secretariats to extra work, because it's not clear to me what we would do with the numbers, and how people might be inclined to compare them. Why? So a quick straw poll would indicate of some host countries that it would seem to be a superfluous job. Thank you.
Thank you, UK, and I have Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Coincido plenamente con lo señalado por el Reino Unido. En realidad, creo que lo que nos llevó a esto fue el planteo relativo a la traducción y la interpretación y cuáles eran los comités que se hacían cargo de los trabajos de traducción e interpretación a través de los gobiernos nacionales. Todo el resto de la información que un gobierno pueda dar respecto de los gastos que demanda el comité serán, me parece que serían sumamente difíciles de comparar. El costo de la mano de obra no es lo mismo en todos los países, la contratación de servicios no guarda relación, la decisión de los gobiernos de hacer una reunión en un hotel contratándolo o en un organismo de gobierno no se puede cuantificar, en algunos casos no se puede cuantificar, con lo cual sinceramente no le veo el sentido. Sí nos parecía algo práctico el que cada uno de los países diera información respecto a si se hacían cargo plenamente de los gastos de traducción e interpretación o no, porque eso sí podía afectar el presupuesto del Códex. Si un país se hace cargo de esos gastos, es un ahorro para el presupuesto del Códex. Entonces sí, esa es información importante, inclusive para poder determinar efectivamente en qué tipo de trabajo de traducción, por ejemplo, se va tanto dinero en el Códex, porque lo que tenemos es la certeza de que hay muchísimos comités que se hacen cargo de todo eso. Creo que el tema había partido de ahí. El resto de la información esta que se proponía pedirle a los gobiernos nos parece que carece de sentido práctico para utilizarla después. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina. And but I remember the secretary explained that usually there is always a memorandum signed between the secretariat and the host country, and that does also include the costs expected to be covered by each party. And I don't think there is a standard formula for that, but it mostly depends on the agreement between the secretariat and the host country. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At least in recent times, the provisions set out in Rule 13.4 is closely followed, meaning that the subsidiary bodies that are set up in accordance with Rule 11, Paragraph 1, Subparagraph B, 6.1 is entirely borne by the host governments, including the interpretation and translation of documents. And documents include both working documents and reports. Only in exceptional circumstances, for instance, there is a need to double check the correctness and consistency of terminology against the FAO terminology, some of the texts, namely those texts being advanced to step 8, could be double-checked by the FAO translation, incurring the cost on the part of Codex Secretariat. But with these exceptions, the cost related to the operation of Codex committees and task forces dealing with commodity issues or general subject issues are borne by the host governments. In relation to the bodies established by point 2 of the same rule, the Codex budgets provide for the interpretation required or translation required for the operation of coordinating committees. There are a coordinating committee which uses only one language, and there is no expenses on interpretation or translation. But the translation becomes necessary when we have to translate the final report into the other languages of the Commission. And this is being paid out of the Codex budget. Some coordinating committees, for instance, the Coordinating Committee for Europe, has decided for the last sessions to provide interpretation in Russian, which is not a language of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. In these instances, the interpretation and translation into Russian and from Russian was not covered by the Codex budget, but it was covered by the voluntary contribution of the host government. So this is the principles followed within the Codex system at this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Unfortunately, the Honorable Delegate left the room as you are giving the explanation, and I hope she'll get to understand. And if we don't have more interventions, we have had a very rich discussion on this, and we cannot, as a committee, the fact that the two organizations have protected the Codex budget. And of course, we have also noted that it has been protected at the maintenance of zero growth. And we wish to...
Zero real growth.
Yes. It's okay. Very important, the difference.
There's zero growth and zero real growth. So I'm really meaning zero real growth.
Zero nominal growth.
And of course, as a committee, we would urge them to, the two party organizations, to increase instead of maintaining it as zero real growth. And we have also noted that there is a possibility for the Codex budget to change following the impact of the FAO external, independent external evaluation. And we have also noted that the 34th conference held in November has adopted a Codex budget, and also the World Health Assembly has also set funds for Codex. And it's important to reiterate here that Codex being an organization which is rather unique in its way of operating, especially that it holds meetings. It's important to have a predictable budget, and we strongly urge our two-party organizations to be able to ensure that we know how much we would require, or we can comfortably predict how much we shall get for the purpose of our planning. And that would summarize our discussion. And, Secretary, have I left out an important point? No? So thank you very much. That then concludes our discussion on Agenda Item 4. Can we go to Agenda Item 5? Quickly, Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is the updates to the information that was already provided to the last session of the Commission. Since then, some committees and task forces, venue and dates have been confirmed. So this table on the second, third page of document CX/exec/07/65 provides updated schedule of Forex sessions for the 2 years to come. Of course, the dates and venues are not definitive until the Director General of FAO and WHO formally issue an invitation to Forex members. So there may be some would provide a further view on the number of meetings and various geographic locations where the meetings are held. And you may note that one session each is foreseen for all coordinating committee meetings, and there will be 3 sessions of executive committee and 2 annual sessions of the commission. Mr. Chairman, since the Secretariat has been given microphone, we would like to reiterate the matter which we also mentioned in early meeting of the Executive Committee in relation to the need for the Codex Secretariat and for the FAO handling all protocol matters on behalf of the Codex Secretariat to conclude at an early opportunity a letter of agreement and memorandum of responsibilities with the government of the country where a Codex meeting is taking place. Basically, the memorandum of responsibilities include the necessary arrangement, logistic arrangements, to enable a smooth conduct of an intergovernmental body session, as well as some protocol matters. Basically, these duties and obligations for the host government should not pose major difficulties for any members of FAO or WHO. However, in practical terms, we have encountered certain difficulties to get the standard memorandum of responsibilities signed and accepted in time by the host government, resulting in significant delay in issuing the invitation. This is because without the signature of agreement between FAO and the host government, we are not able to issue the formal invitation. And unfortunately, late circulation of invitations resulted in sometimes delegations lacking time to get clearance from their hierarchy to participate in this meeting, or even lacking time of obtaining an entry visa. And this very unfortunate situation led to decreased participation in certain meetings. So therefore, the Secretariat would like to take this opportunity to get the message through to all Codex members wishing to host a Codex session to give a top priority to the conclusion of these legal instruments that are required to hold an intergovernmental session in that country. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And can I ask for an observation or comment from the floor? If none, then I invite the, as an executive committee, we note the report. Coordinating committee, coordinator for Europe, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to thank the Secretariat for the information they've given to us regarding the proposed schedule of Codex meetings for 2008 and 2009. Mr. Chairman, as you recall, the Commission at its last session decided to reactivate the Codex Committee, the sessions of the Codex Committee on Natural Mineral Waters, and in the mandate that was given to us, as found also in paragraph 166 of Ali Norm 0730, the report of the session, we have in the third bullet point that the CCNMW should complete its task in no more than two sessions. And indeed, we should strive to present the proposed revised section for final adoption by the Commission at its session in 2009. So, Mr. Chairman, we hope to resolve the issues which are at on our agenda next year in 2008, but it could be that we do not succeed and we might be able, we might be forced to organize a new session in 2009. So at this moment, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to flag this this fact to the Secretariat and maybe draw their attention to the fact that there might be a ninth session of the Codex Committee on Natural Mineral Waters in 2009, early 2009. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Coordinator for Europe. And can I go back to the Secretariat and ask for that possibility? Because you know, planning for a meeting, but the secretary has to also find time and also make sure it fits in the program of work of the secretariat. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I stated in the introduction, these tables are still indicative and not definitive. For instance, you may have seen that no session is foreseen in 2008. For ad hoc intergovernmental task force on foods derived from biotechnology. This is on the assumption that the old text advanced to step 8 will be adopted by the 31st session of the Commission. But if something else happens, there may be a need for another session of the task force. So there are, of course, several assumptions associated with the session planning. This being said, the Secretariat will be happy to get into consultation with the host government of National Mineral Waters Committee and pencil eventually another session in 2009. And if there is no need for that session, that would be a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I apologise. There are some other flags on the other side of the room. Just a brief factual point that I've been advised that the Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses, which is to meet in 2008 at the beginning of November, will in fact be held in South Africa rather than Germany. So that is an amendment for the future, and we're very grateful, obviously, to the host government for that. And I just had a question, if I may, through you, Mr. Chairman, and excuse my ignorance, as to whether or not a memorandum of responsibility is required before each meeting. of the committee, and indeed if that is the case, whether for the traditional committees it might be met by just one memorandum. But I just a query as to whether it's necessary to have a memorandum of responsibility for each single meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, UK, for the first information that the meeting is going to be held in South Africa, and I hope that has been communicated to the Secretariat. And of course, we, as we have discussed in the past, we encourage the hosting of meetings in other parts of the world. And of course, we have a lot of experience already, and it also answers some of the questions of trying to make sure meetings are held not only in the host countries but in other countries, for enabling countries in those regions to be able to participate and also gain experience. And of course, we have had a very good experience in the past that China was hosting and as a, you know, was providing a venue, and now it's hosting committees. So it's a way of gaining experience too. Secretary, please, can you try to answer the next question from UK?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, from the Secretariat viewpoint, we would favor the conclusion of a memorandum of responsibility that would be valid for subsequent sessions to avoid a lot of bureaucratic exercises. However, unfortunately, there are situations where the host government is not in a position to sign a sort of multiple agreement and prefer to conclude a memorandum responsibility for each session. Of course, this is increases significantly the workload of the Secretariat, but when the host government is refusing the signature of multiple agreement, there is no other choice left. Apart from this, there are cases, and many cases, where, and this was also encouraged by the Commission, for the host government to move the venues to a third countries. And for instance, in the case of fish and fisher products, or let's say nutrition committee, when a session of nutrition committee is held in South Africa, it is up to the government of South Africa to guarantee that government would indeed issue visas to all participants wishing to enter the country. And Germany is not in a position to guarantee, to make that guarantee. And this also applies to the assurance of the provision of immunities to the Secretariat members and participants. Therefore, there is a need to conclude a memorandum of responsibilities with the country where the meeting is taking place. So this means that we are a number of memorandum of responsibilities to process every year. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that clarification. Can I go to the coordinator for Latin American Caribbean, please?
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Aún entendiendo que esta lista es indicativa, quisiéramos hacer dos aclaraciones al Comité Ejecutivo en relación a las reuniones que se llevarían a cabo el año entrante en México. La primera es en relación al Comité de Frutas y Hortalizas Frescas, que para avanzar su agenda propone tener una reunión de 6 días. Esto es que inicie no el día 5, sino el día 4 de mayo y termine el día 9 de mayo del año 2008. Asimismo, estamos previendo realizar uno o dos grupos de trabajo junto con esta reunión para avanzar el anteproyecto de norma para las manzanas y el anteproyecto de directrices para la inspección y certificación de las frutas y hortalizas frescas. Esto en relación al Comité de Frutas y Hortalizas Frescas. En relación al Comité Coordinador para América Latina y el Caribe, queremos aprovechar en la mayor medida la oportunidad de reunirnos cada 2 años. Y en ese sentido, queremos solicitar atentamente la ampliación a 5 días, igual que en el caso del Comité Coordinador para Asia, de la reunión. Y en ese caso, esta reunión se sostendría del día 10 al 14 de noviembre del año 2008, con la venia del secretariado. México, como gobierno sede, estará desde luego en la mejor disposición para comentar con el secretariado la mejor forma de atender los gastos que este día adicional de reuniones implicaría, pero estamos sinceramente convencidos de que el contenido de la reunión justifica tener un día extra de sesiones. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, coordinator for Latin American Caribbean, and again, as the secretary has said, this is indicative, and we welcome the initiative that you can discuss further with the secretariat. Coordinator for Near East, please.
شكراً سيد الرئيس. الملاحظة سأسوقها تتعلق بمسألة تنظيمية وهي خاصة في الحصول على تأشيرات دخول لبعض البلدان، وهنا أشير أن منطقة الشرق الأدنى بلدان تعاني إشكاليات في الحصول على التأشيرات، وسأسوق إليكم مثال. سفارة النرويج مثلا في تونس تقتضي 3 أشهر للحصول على تأشيرة للدخول حتى للمشاركة في أعمال منظمة دولية، وهذا غير معقول وخير بالنسبة لموظف دولة أن يتقدم بتأشيرة خلال 3 أشهر. هنا أسوق ملاحظة عامة، وفما بعض البلدان طبعا تسهيلات كبيرة فيها مثل سويسرا لتقديم التأشيرة لا يدوم أكثر من 48 ساعة بالنسبة للمنظمات الدولية، لذلك هي توصية يمكن أن تسوقها هيئة الدستور لتحسيس أكثر الدول المنظمة والتي تحتضن معناها اللجان كي تسهل مشاركة البلدان في هذه اللجان. مثلا نحن في تونس حرمنا من مشاركة في لجنة الدستور الغذائي المعنية بالأسماك والمنتجات السمكية من أجل هذا الإشكال، معناها إذا 3 أشهر يصعب المشاركة في هذه اللجان. وشكرا.
Thank you, Coordinator for Near East, for drawing that to our attention, and I think this emphasizes the need for any of the Codex member country wishing to host a session of any of the subsidiary bodies to conclude as early as possible all the legal instruments with FAO, to enable not only timely dispatch of the session's invitations, but also, you know, to enable the other members to be able to participate in the session. So I think as an executive committee, we have to say it strongly. Of course, we have had cases, some other cases in the past. So if we word it strongly in our report, and this will send a signal to all the Codex members wishing to host any of the subsidiary body sessions to ensure they not only facilitate but welcome other Codex members to participate by finalizing the necessary legal instruments with FAO. And I don't think we can state it in stronger terms than that. And of course, again, it's something that we can also mention at the commission level, because this is a repeating and we have to do something about it. Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, we note the meeting calendars that it has been proposed. And that will conclude our discussion on our... Of course, we note with the information we received about the meeting South Africa, the possibility of having another meeting in 2009 on the Committee on Mineral, Natural Mineral Waters. And that concludes our discussion on this agenda item. Can I invite the committee to start looking at agenda item 6? Can I invite the secretary to introduce the agenda item, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The relevant document is CX/exec 07/60/6. As well as conference room document 7, which is a trilingual document. In English, French, and Spanish. We apologize for the unavailability of the text in Arabic. Mr. Chairman, this agenda item covers those issues arising from the reports of Codex committees and task forces. Since the last session of the Executive Committee, several committees held their session and some outcomes are indicated in this main project, working document. And most issues are for information only. However, of course, if the committee wishes to comment on that, we could certainly accommodate that. In addition, Mr. Chairman, there is one single issue that needs an endorsement from the Executive Committee before the matter is discussed and approved by the Commission. And I refer the committee to paragraph 8 and CRD 7 relating to the matters arising from the first session of ad hoc task force on antimicrobial resistance. The antimicrobial resistance task force was established by the 29th session of the Commission, and its terms of reference are included in the procedure manual in the current edition, and but also in the previous edition. The terms of reference of the antimicrobial resistance task force, which bears a code of CX804, consists of two texts. One text under the heading of objectives, and the second text under the heading of terms of reference in its narrower sense. The proposal from the first session of this task force is not to amend in any way the terms of reference in its narrower sense, but to slightly amend the text which comes under the objectives. The proposed changes are found in detail in CRD 7, which consists in adding a new sentence which is underlined. So, Mr. Chairman, we have several items for information only and one item on which the action is expected on the part of the executive committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm tempted to start with the item that requires our endorsement. And that is the amendment to the terms of reference of the ad hoc intergovernmental task force on antimicrobial resistance, as it has been explained by the Secretary. And the proposed amendments is on the objectives, as it can be seen on CRD 07. Can I invite for comments from the floor, please? Canada, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Canada notes that the amendments to the objectives would essentially expand the scope to include resistant microorganisms as a result of using microbiologicals in food processing, as well as plant protection. And this essentially places on an equal footing these two issues with the current issue in the objectives. And we would strongly caution in expanding the objectives to include these additional issues, as these are minor and are already being considered under other bodies. So therefore, we would caution this change to the objectives because it might place additional work or expand the work away from the priority at hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Canada. And if I might check in my English, caution means not in support. Thank you very much, Canada. Any other observation? Is there any support for the caution from Canada? Are we supporting the amendments as proposed? UK, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I think the important issue is that there'll be no change to the terms of reference or the time frame, and I have no information to whether to support or otherwise the Canadian intervention, but I think we would need to be cautious that this particular task force does not embark on a direction that affects its overall objectives, and in particular the time frame. The time frame is given as not more than 4 sessions from last year, and so I just think this is something perhaps we could keep under review. As I say, I note Canada's point but have no information as to whether to support. Just one very tiny point on the English version. It should be animals, plural. Thank you.
UK and coordinator for Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad es una duda desde el punto de vista del procedimiento. El mandato de este grupo debe de ser modificado por la Comisión del Códex. ¿Es correcto? Veo que asiente el secretariado. Entonces, si partimos de este supuesto, entonces no le corresponde exactamente al Comité Ejecutivo modificar el mandato. Quizá para la mejor forma de atender la petición o la advertencia que nos hace Canadá sería que podamos consultar más a detalle las consecuencias de esta modificación, toda vez que la reunión fue muy reciente de parte del Grupo de Resistencia Antimicrobiana, y volver a esto en la sesión que el Comité Ejecutivo tendrá inmediatamente antes de la Comisión del Códex, para darle entonces nuestro mejor consejo a la Comisión, que de todas formas tendría que tomar la decisión hasta el mes de junio, julio entrante.
Thank you, coordinator for Latin America and Caribbean, but we also need to note that it's a recommendation from the task force itself. Coordinator for Africa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I note that the terms of reference is not changing, and the time frame for the work is not changing. It's only the objective that the proposal and expansion. I would like to recommend that we take the status quo, let it stay as is, let them proceed with the work, and in their reporting, if there are some further issues that have come up, they can make it, put them in their recommendations, rather than change the objectives. I will retain what is there, because they are not changing the terms of reference, neither are they changing the time frame, so the work will go on schedule, and they can add any additional things in their report. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Africa. So you are saying the proposed amendment is okay or not okay?
Okay. Amendment is not okay.
WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While we are all for caution, although not mentioning the word, the P word here, but all for, we are all for caution. I think it's also important to consider what the task force was trying to say, because the task force supposedly would look into all the problems related to antimicrobial resistant microorganisms in food. So in the suggestions for a change in the objective, I think that they were trying to say it will be very difficult if we are looking at 100 microorganisms that are all resistant to this or that, that we can then only consider the ones that come from use of antimicrobials in animals. What if 10 of them came from use on plants? What if 5 of them came from the use in the food production? Wouldn't it make sense to be able to at least evaluate or estimate that altogether? And the reason why it might be important to maybe mention that in the objectives is that this task force will also need scientific advice. So it's going to be important for the task force and for FAO and WHO to know whether we would like to have the scientific advice of the full picture, or whether we would have to separate out the part of the problem that only comes from the animal use from the part of the problem that might come from other non-human use. So in a sense, if you would now ask me, am I for or against changing? I'm for changing the objective, because I think it will be all-inclusive of the full picture of antimicrobial resistance in food, which will make it easier to do the scientific work. I do know that there are problems in relation to where we have the most data, and I think that's also what Canada referred to. But still, I think the more logical way forward is to look at the full problem. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, and I'm also getting cautious. Maybe FAO wants to say something again, but
no, very quickly,
we're not being cautious again.
Very quickly, Mr. Chairman. I think the matter has been debated in the task force itself, and the reason why the task force has proposed this change is because they felt that if we do not make that change, we'd be missing or would not be addressing the problem in a holistic way. So I think I would certainly support and align our position to that of WHO with supporting the change, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I'm not going to be cautious this time, maybe, because, you know, it was debated by the task force level itself, and I don't think we have had the opportunity to really get the sense of what really went through the minds of all those who were in the session at that material time, to the extent that they came up with this recommendation. And also, listening to the interventions from the coordinator for Latin American and Caribbean and WHO and FAO, I think we shall do justice by if we don't want to support it straight, can we note the discussions and let's come back to it in our next meeting, just before the commission meeting next year, and we would have had the opportunity to look at the reports and get a sense of what happened in the session, task force session. Will that be accepted? I see everyone nodding, and that will be our decision then. We note the discussions in this room and come back to it in the 61st session of this executive committee meeting. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary has no problem at all with your suggestion. Simply to clarify to the point raised by Mexico, by saying that the Commission, it was the Commission that approved the objectives and terms of reference of this particular task force. So only the Commission is able to amend or change the objectives and terms of reference. Whether or not executive committee takes a position or does not take a position, the matter will be discussed by the Commission at its 31st session. And if there are any opinions, views expressed by this committee, that will be taken into account by the Commission when taking the final decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that further information. And then we have concluded our agenda item number 6, and can we have an initial discussion on agenda item 7? And we could start with an introduction on agenda item 7A. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Yes, moving to item 7, relations between the Codex Alimentarius Commission and other international organizations. The relevant document is CX EXEC 0767 67, and then we have a part 1 and a part 2. We recommend that we discuss part A and part B separately, and I don't know if I should make a mention that the discussion will be private. We will have no recording of this part. So no audio recording will be made from this part onward.